small crowd, but you're going to get two homilies. First homily. This is the end of the week of Christian unity, and that's something that's been celebrated since before I can remember. We used to exchange pulpits between Catholics and Protestants back in the early days of that, and it's not so much heard of anymore, but we still celebrate this, the week of Christian unity. And it's the attempt among the various Christian denominations to recognize our unity despite our differences. We sometimes think of the division among the churches as happening at the Protestant Reformation, or we think of it as happening at the time of the separation of East and West in 1050 between the Orthodox and the Catholic. But we see from that second reading to Paul's letter to the Corinthians that it really began in the first century. It began in Paul's own lifetime. He's scandalized by the division among the people. I belong to Cephas, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollo. He said, don't we all belong to Christ? Were you baptized into Paul? No, you were baptized into Christ. Christ is our unity. In fact, he's the union of all creation. Everything begins from his word, and it's all returning through him back to the Father. The world, creation, the cosmos, God, it's all about unity. And Paul says, I haven't been sent to baptize, but to preach the death of Christ. And I don't want to do it with too much eloquence, lest it lose its power. And the power of the cross is precisely its scandal, that God would succumb to human will and be executed in that horrific way. That God makes himself vulnerable, that God is the dying one. And of course, we talk about this often. The three persons in the Trinity, what makes the union there is that there is no self-guardedness in the Trinity. There is no self-concern. There is only the laying down of life for each of the three persons. That's what causes the unity. And Jesus' cross reminds us that unity comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of our lives. It comes at the cost of our opinions. It comes at the cost of our ideologies. There's something in human nature, and it's probably the effect of original sin, something in human nature that loves division, loves dividing the world into us and them, the righteous and the unrighteous, the washed and the unwashed, etc. But that's not God. In God, there is no division. In God, there is no ideology. There is no us and them. It's only us. And the way to unity is the cross. The way to unity is each of us has to die to ourselves so that we can be one with the others. End of first homily. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, in his public ministry, we heard today the first word that comes out of his mouth, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the Greek word for repent is metanoia. And metanoia in English means a couple of things. First of all, it means to turn around. And secondly, it means to change your mind. And those two are totally related. So turning around emphasizes this physical nature of what we believe and where our allegiance lies. And so you tend to face what you honor. When we enter a Catholic church, we put our backs to the west, where the sun dies, symbolic of sin and death. We put our backs to the world. And we put our faces to the altar. So there's a kind of a directionality to liturgy always. There's a kind of a bodily direction, a turning around. And every time we sign ourselves in that font, it's a reminder that our lives are constantly turning away from the world and toward the kingdom. And we have to be reminded of that over and over again, because we're affected by sin and we're sinners ourselves, and we love division and we love the world more than we should. To change your mind, Jesus says, I want you to change your mind, to change the way you look at reality. You see, Jesus is divine. And so he looks at reality from a divine perspective. And it's quite different from the way we humans look at things from a worldly perspective. The divine way of seeing reality is union. The divine way of seeing reality is love. It's the cross. It's the dying. It's the letting go and making vulnerable of ourselves. When Jesus says that to Peter and James and John, they drop their nets, they leave everything, and they follow him. Which is the gospel writer's way of saying they got it. They changed their minds. They began to drop the way they looked at the world and reality before, and they accepted Jesus' vision of reality. And so it meant leaving. It meant losing. It meant taking up the vulnerability of an itinerant preacher who has nowhere to lay his head, to follow him around in poverty, in vulnerability, in risk, not knowing where the next meal is going to come from, not knowing where the next place you're going to sleep. It's a huge change of mind. Now, they were like us, though. We change our minds back and forth. We vacillate. We're faithful, we're unfaithful, we're faithful, we're unfaithful, just like Israel in the Old Testament. But Peter, who stands for the church, who stands for us in the gospel stories, here we have him dropping everything and making this radical decision. But we know from the rest of the story that Peter vacillated back and forth too. He says to Jesus, no, we won't let them do that to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And on the night before Jesus dies, Peter denies him three times. This is the same man that we just heard in the gospel today, who dropped everything and radically changed his mind and followed forever. Well, not forever, because he was like us. And that's the reason we have to sign ourselves in that font over and over again. That's why we have to come here and hear this word over and over again. We have to reconvince ourselves of this truth. Because the world is constantly tugging at us and telling us that it's a lie. But the gospel and the cross, that's where the truth is. That's where reality is as God sees it. And what the way we see it, the way the world see it, doesn't really matter, because that's all passing away. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.